Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Awesome. I am absolutely honored to be with you this morning and to be asked to offer the message. We're going to focus on John 21 as Ginger just read and told that awesome story. And this takes place, I'm just going to remind you, it might be some repetition here, but I'm going to remind you that this has taken place after Jesus had risen from the dead. So I'm going to read from the New International Version. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Okay, I promise to do my best here interpreting this scripture as a layperson. I have asked God to speak his word through me today so that we may all leave here receiving what he wants us to receive. And there's a whole lot to unpack in this Bible story. It's, even though it's surprisingly kind of simple compared to his pre-Easter miraculous stories, right? This is kind of simple. We might expect Jesus to have appeared in a more outlandish fashion or like a more extravagant, doing bigger things like than just cooking breakfast for 7 people with 153 fish. It seems a little simple, but not like, you know, it kind of pales in comparison. I'm not trying to say it's not miraculous because it is absolutely miraculous and it's amazing. But compared to like when he fed 5,000 people from only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, it's kind of like, it's a little bit of a simple post-Easter story. And maybe we're supposed to get something from that. Maybe we're supposed to realize that we need to meet Jesus when we're in the midst of our everyday lives, when we're feeling down and feeling low, maybe feeling ashamed or guilty or broken. And I suspect that was just how Peter must have been feeling. I can imagine he was feeling like a failure at truly following Jesus, a failure at living up to his calling of being a fisher of people. He may have been thinking, I might as well go back to doing what I used to do. I'm going to go fishing again. And, you know, it's like because he wasn't feeling good at what he was called to do because he had denied Peter, denied Jesus. So another thing I like to take from this is that even though the other disciples offered to go with him, they caught absolutely nothing. Again, like, I don't know about you guys, but I can totally relate to Ginger and Peter and the disciples with the fishing stories. Like, I don't have any fishing stories that actually, like, amount to any fish. Like, 153, never, definitely not. but fishing isn't as easy as it seems, you know? It takes a lot of patience. It takes, like, usually getting up really early, being quiet, kind of still. And apparently that's not something I'm very good at. So when I was a little girl, we spent a lot of beautiful summers at my parents' cottage up in Ontario, Canada. And my dad and brothers would love to go fishing. And of course, like, there wasn't a whole lot for me to do by myself with my mom, you know. So I would want to go fishing with them. And when I went, I like had trouble being still and keeping quiet. So when I went along, we never caught any fish. Like, it was pretty rare. So I unfortunately wasn't invited to go along fishing very often. But anyway, it seems to me that we don't really hear about Peter and his disciples and his other friends, you know, all these fishermen catching many fish, except for when they're with Jesus, right? So I don't know. It makes me think, like, if God calls us to minister in a certain role, I wonder if we'll ever be happy, if we'll ever be successful, if we're not living in the role that Jesus calls us to live. I feel like we all need Jesus to be successful in our vocation, in our ministry, in our lives. So there's a similar miraculous fishing story in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was also by the Sea of Galilee, and he got into Simon Peter's boat, and he started teaching people from the boat. And then he tells Simon Peter to let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter answers Jesus, like, we've been working all night and we have caught nothing. Again, right? Like the fishing story that they catch nothing without Jesus, right? So, but because he's like, well, because you said so, we'll let down the nets. And what happens then? They got this large catch of fish, so large that it, you know, started to tear their nets. And they signal to their partners to come and help them, and they fill both boats until they're beginning to sink. And so then what is Peter's reaction at that time? He literally falls to Jesus' feet and says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. But Jesus doesn't turn him away. He shows his amazing love for him and tells him, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they left everything and followed Jesus. Okay, so let's relate that back to our John 21 story. We're at the same Sea of Galilee again, and this is the third time that Jesus has appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead, and they don't realize that it's Jesus, even when he tells them to throw their net on the right side of the boat. It wasn't until that miracle, right? It wasn't until the miracle that happened. It's not until they actually are unable to haul in the net because it's so full of fish that John finally realizes that it's Jesus. And he says, it is the Lord. So what does Peter do this time? He's kind of like a wildfire right here. Peter's like, he puts on his outer garment because he had taken it off to be fishing. And then he jumps in the water. And it's kind of weird because you're like, wait a minute. Well, why would he put on more things to jump in the water to get his clothes wet? And, you know, there's some scholars that say that was his, like, putting on his calling, his obligation and then jumping in the water to be baptized. I don't know. I mean, I am no biblical scholar here and I don't pretend to be one. But I'm thinking, like from Peter's perspective, I'm thinking, you know, Peter had denied Jesus three times right before he died. And I'm sure he's feeling, you know, how guilty and shameful and awful. And he's probably thinking like, how he had told Peter right before this that he would go to prison with Jesus. I'm sorry, he had told Jesus. I keep saying messing up those names. Sorry about that. He had told Jesus he would go to prison with him and even to death with Jesus. But he must have been feeling so down on himself because he didn't even make it through that day without denying Jesus three times, just as Jesus said he would. So I can imagine Peter was like, I just need to get to Jesus and make it all right. So I think that the lesson from this part of the story is that it's so important for us to focus on Jesus. The moment John recognized that was Jesus, he told Peter, and Peter impulsively acted to go to Jesus. He didn't stay to help his partners haul in the fish. He just went to Jesus. And maybe we need to be more aware of when Jesus is showing up in our lives in these simple times, right? We need to realize it's him, and we should do what Peter did and go to Jesus. So then the story goes on after they finish eating, and Jesus asked Peter the same question three times over, do you love me? And Peter answers three times over, yes. Kind of somewhat tentatively, but I think we need to pay attention to how Peter answered Jesus. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. It's almost as if Peter doesn't trust himself and he places all his trust in Jesus. He puts it back on Jesus because he knows that Jesus truly knows him and everyone else. So what are we to learn from this part? John says earlier in chapter 1 of Jesus, he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I like to think that Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to be forgiven, to take away his sin three times for the three times he denied Jesus. Peter, like each of us, messed up big time. And Jesus didn't come to get revenge or throw it in Peter's face and be like, I told you so. I told you you were going to deny me three times. No, of course not. That's not Jesus. Jesus came to show his forgiveness and to redeem him, show his love, his amazing grace. Now, according to biblical scholar Dale Bruner, perhaps this is the single most important question we, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, need to be asked, as Peter was asked, do you love me? And really, truly, are we very different from Peter? We are all flawed. We are all sinners. We have all failed. And we all need to come back to this question again and again to ask him to make our love for him stronger and stronger. And as we honestly answer that most important question, do you love Jesus? We receive a most wonderful grounding and basis for our lives with Jesus as his disciples. Now, Jesus didn't just forgive Peter and let him be on his way. He charged or commissioned Peter after he answered his question each time, telling him, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. So what is Jesus really saying here? I feel like he's telling Peter, please be a good shepherd to my people. And really, we learn that Peter does exactly what Jesus calls him to do. He believed in the forgiveness Jesus offered him, and he let go of the feelings of guilt, of shame, of unworthiness. And he went on to be one of the greatest influences in Christianity. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5 that Peter calls the elders of the church. So I think we could see ourselves as being those people Peter was talking to, the elders of the church, he says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. God doesn't run from us in our weakness, our brokenness, our sin, our shame. He pursues us. He offers us forgiveness, love, and amazing grace beyond all our understanding. He calls us, as he called Peter, to be a good shepherd to his people. I invite you to keep your eyes open to seeing him, to keep your ears open to hearing him in the least expected and most simple, ordinary of places. As I close, I ask you to honestly answer Jesus's question, do you love me? And if your answer is yes, then I encourage you to trust and believe in the forgiveness Jesus bought for us, to let go of the feelings of unworthiness, of shame, of guilt, and to be a good shepherd to his people.